non-inflammatorium with a cremation rate of over 90%, Rob's likely going to be welcoming all of these new green trends. So please join me in welcoming Rob as he facilitates this next session. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, 40 years ago, our industry was faced with an emerging trend, and some of us embraced it, some of us hid from it, and now, 40 years later, cremation is over 50% of the families that we serve throughout Canada. So here again, we're faced with a new emerging trend. Some people think it's a fad, but I think we need to be open and receptive and start the dialogue. And that's what this session is about. We don't have all the answers. We have a lot of questions, and you'll probably leave today with more questions. But at least you'll, hopefully we've opened your mind a little bit, and so that we can look for more informed decisions and then be better able to serve the families as they ask for some of these new service offerings. So what we're going to do is I'm going to briefly introduce the guest panelists today, and then they're going to share some opening statements, and then we're going to talk about the different shades of green, because green and environmentally friendly and natural means different things to different people. And we're going to have a bit of a discussion of that. And then we want to involve you in the discussion as well. And then, again, we'd like to have everyone leave just with an open mind. So first, I'd like to introduce Dave Erb. Dave is a funeral director and owner of Urban Good Funeral Home in Kitchener. Dave is a self-described tree hugger. And they not only do they have their own regular website, but they also have greenfunerals.ca. which is promoting their green services that they have. And Dave's appeared on this topic throughout Ontario, whether it be in the KW Record, Toronto Star, province-wide on CTV, and also the CBC radio. So Dave, if you could just briefly explain why you're here.
I did Harold's trying to do my mission here. Wait a second.
Thanks, guys, everybody.
I don't know if I said that you can call me a tree hugger, but the damage is done. And I am a tree hugger, but the reason that I guess you got into this was, for those of you that don't know, I grew up in a lot of, I grew up in a relatively conservative Mennonite home. And the Mennonite community is basically living simply, and the less you have, and the simpler you live, the more you enjoy life, and the lighter you turn on creation, the better off you are as well. So, really, my wife and I were looking at how we lived at home, and when we left, when we came to work, we operated a little bit differently, and we wanted to find some type of common ground that we could carry our values.
Great. Thanks, Dave. Next, I'd like to introduce Kaylee Ferguson. Kaylee is from Northern Caskets and fourth generation Ferguson there. And at their company, they've instituted a couple things. One, the Life Immortal Program for 13, 14 years now. Also, the Viral Caskets. And there's a lot of information on their website at northerncaskets.com. Kaylee, could you just maybe add to that a little bit, please?
Yeah, thanks, Robin. Thanks, everybody, for giving us an opportunity to sort of explain what we know. I appreciate not being called an expert, but a guest speaker here, because this topic is so new to all of us that nobody's an expert. We're all learning as we go. The three of us are up here, happy to oblige and tell you what we know about this current social trend, the viral trend that's happening right now. And for us as a manufacturer and supplier to the funeral industry, it was a natural progression for us. We have a spectrum of product offerings that we have, and the viral casket, which was introduced 15 years ago, before this was at the forefront of topics and dates and stuff, it was just one more product that we feel there was a demand for. We're here today because obviously we feel that the demand has grown, and I appreciate the time to speak with you guys.
Thanks, Kaylee. And then we have Paul Taylor. Paul's a cemeterian. He's the manager of Woodlawn Memorial Park in Guelph. Paul's the past chair of the Funeral Professional Coalition Council of Canada. And I've left this extra room here so Paul can fill in the rest of a little bit. He's also received a lot of the same publicity as Dave has, and as well, Kaylee. Paul, could you add to that, please?
Thanks, Rob. It's my pleasure to be here today. We are not experts, as we've already said, but I think that the reason we got involved in the green burial aspect is that we were actually asked by one of our families if we had anything that was a green burial. And, you know, I couldn't think of what we had, so what I did was I said, listen, I'm going to take around and show you just about everything we've got going on with the cemetery, what we do, and can you tell me if it's green enough for you? And so we went around, took the drive around, and they started educating me a little bit more on what green was. And I started talking to my staff a little bit, and they had a couple of environmentalists working for the cemetery. So I started quizzing them a little bit, what's green all about. And as I'm doing all this, and I'm talking to other people, I also watching TV and watching Dave when he's doing on TV, and I started realizing that there's an awful lot of people that are interested in green burials. And so therefore, it would be, if I'm running a community cemetery, and I always thought of ourselves as an urban forest, it might be a good idea to look at this green aspect of just a little bit more to see what we could do with the green. And since then, I've learned so much, and hopefully we can share some of that knowledge with everyone today. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Paul. And actually, Paul, while you have the mic, why don't you just hold on to it? And but only for a few moments.
So,
in our conversations, both Paul and I are on the coalition, and one of the topics that we've been talking about this past year, and one of the mandates that that we're tackling is the greening of funerals, and Paul terms this the many shades of green. So maybe Paul, if you could just expand upon that on that term and the definition.
Thank you. I like the picture you used, Rob. I do look very good in green, do I not? I think the one thing is, on the coalition council, I can remember one time speaking on a conference call, and all of a sudden on the agenda the green issue comes up, so we're discussing green, which is one of my favorite topics. You'll understand that by the end of the day. And we're going along, at the time there's a couple of us that had researched a little bit more than the rest on green, and we're going back and forth on the discussion about green burials. And then the other members of the coalition felt a little more comfortable. You start hearing the other names or the other voices coming on the line. Now we've got a really good discussion going on about green. Then we had this one funeral director jumps on the line, he felt comfortable with the line, he says, he's a funeral director, well respected in the Toronto area, he says, there has not been a green burial in Toronto yet. And I said, well, that's exactly what's wrong with this, because most of us wouldn't understand a green burial if we tripped over it. There are so many different shades of green. We are all doing something a little bit more environmentally friendly than we were 10 years ago. And those can all be considered green. As I go around with my families, and they're educating me about what green is, they have their different levels as well and what they're expecting from green. I recently sold a grave to a family for their mother, the daughter and the son were, brother and sister was purchasing the grave, and they purchased it underneath a beautiful oak tree, 150 years old, and they actually bought an environmental casket. They put the environmental casket into a concrete vault. And I said to them, because it was a rule in that area, they must have a concrete concrete quarries. That's sort of that area, and you have to cut concrete. I came to another area around across the road, trying to stand by another tree, and they said, no, we love the oak tree. That is very important to us. And we will settle for having a concrete wall. That should be enough for us. And so I think that's what caught me, that there's many different shades of green, and we're trying to provide all the different shades we can. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Paul. Kaylee, maybe you can just share what environmentally friendly means to yourself and your company, and a little bit more of a background of what you've been doing for the last 14, 15 years.
For us, the concept came from the Jewish community and their religious beliefs. I'm not going to sit up here and pretend to know what I'm talking about there. But the basis, and how I understand it anyway, is that it's an action to action belief, a complete full circle return to Mother Nature. So the original concept of our product, which I'm up here representing, came from the Jewish community. But instead of us pouring ourselves, blocking ourselves off from other areas of the market, we decided to market it as an EnviroCasket. And surprisingly enough, it's requested more from the people who are looking for an environmentally responsible alternative than it is the Jewish community now for us. They've been around forever. They were just never labeled the EnviroCasket or an environmentally friendly casket. So they were always directed towards the Jewish community. So that's where the concept came for us. Right now we have a Life and Moral program. It's important to a lot of people, and that's with the sale of every one of our, not just the EnviroCasket, but with the sale of any one of our caskets, we plant a tree in memory of the deceased. There's other programs out there from other suppliers as well. It's just another indication of the direction that people are going. The planting of the tree, sometimes it's not just people wanting it to be more environmentally friendly, it's people wanting a life to blossom in memory of a loved one who has passed and we don't want to go with us. So that's sort of where the concept came from us. With a line of eight now, we started with two. So full spectrum, we have burn containers, cremation containers, right up to a full hardwood ash casket. That's where we stand right now.
Great. Thanks, Taylor. And maybe Dave, I'm sure a lot of the funeral directors here are wondering, what the heck is a green funeral? Can you maybe just elaborate on how you packaged that and how you came about that, and maybe how they can offer the same type of thing?
It's first of all, I have to tell you, if you're worried about it, if you're worried about it, it's going to hurt the bottom line at all. It won't make things better for you, and hopefully I'll be able to but basically, what we do for our green funeral packages is we include one of and we have different levels of green packages, but they include Kaylee's casket tonight, and we also have a non-formaldehyde based embalming fluid. Actually, it's not chemical based at all, it's 100% biodegradable. And those two things, coupled with the rest of the services that we offer, we went a step beyond that and started looking at our general business practices and look at areas that we can improve on top. So, as an example, we added insulation to different parts of our building to make it more energy efficient. We changed some of our lighting systems to combat fluorescent light bulbs. Every piece of paper in the funeral home is a business card, letterhead, or toilet paper is made from 100% recycled material. We have motion detectors for all lighting systems, so if someone is not in a visitation room or any room in the funeral home washroom, the lights turn on, they only go on the sunbox and the room. We also have a tree planting program, so we make a donation to a local organization that plants trees to the school yards in our town. And I realize this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg. You could go into many other shades of green as well, as Paul talked about. And a couple of other things that I've thought about is changing your fleet of cars to something more fuel efficient, whether it be hybrid vehicles. I think, George, you have a hybrid vehicle. And then the other thing you could do at the the complete opposite, or I shouldn't say opposite, but probably as far as the goal is calculate the carbon footprint of the business so that you can be leasing up on the computer, Google, I think you guys have programmed that, and divide it by the number of families that you serve, and you can either offset yourself, and so do it as a donation to the funeral, or you can do it as a disbursement to the family option.
Can you just briefly explain carbon footprint to so that everyone knows?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Carbon footprint is looking at the way that you live, your business lives, and the impact that it has on the environment. So it's a point system, and for every negative impact that you have on the environment, you gain a point. So for the way that you heat your houses, for example, if you use wood, and silk, your impact is minimal, where if you use natural gas or some type of petroleum product, you have more footprint. So you calculate all these things up, and some people at the end of the year, in person, can actually offset just their living. They can do that. So it's one way to go. But one point that I would like to make to the demographics is the people that are interested in green funerals, from my observation, are the ones that have chosen cremation in the past. And they chose cremation because they thought it was an environmentally friendly alternative. And at the time, it probably was. But now we know that there are other green options that include burial. So all of a sudden, these cremation families can now start choosing burial. And when they choose burial, they can still have the full service, which is a tremendous opportunity for us. I don't know the exact statistics, and Rob, you might, but in the last payment information, I think it was something like 70% of people chose cremation because of environmental reasons. So that's a huge market. You could increase your burial market by 70% by having something in your own.
Great, thanks, Dave. And actually, building upon what Dave was just mentioning, back out west in Victoria, it's kind of funny how we have the Ontario people way over there and the West Coast people way over here on the stage. But in Victoria, Stephen Wilson is the manager of Royal Burial Park, and they're set to launch their green natural burial section in October this year. And he, from the people that he's talked to, and he's already got a waiting list of people who want to purchase a plot in the green section, he says that it's cremation families that are interested in this option, that you're not going to, in Victoria, it's 10% burial, so you don't have to worry about that. It's, you're playing with that bigger side of the pie, and it's part of that 90% that are looking. These people aren't cremation people. These people are people that didn't want traditional burial, and now, and before, they only had one option of cremation, and now they've got two options, one either being cremation or natural burial. And one of the things that Stephen has mentioned, because as they're going through this process, he's following the guidelines out of the UK, where 14 years ago, the natural burial started there, that trend started in England, and now it represents 10% of the disposition of all deaths there in the UK. And so he's kind of following their guidelines. And some of those guidelines are that there's no liner and no embalming and no marker and things like that. And so as Stephen's even probing and asking the questions of the people that come to him, he explains this and he says, well, we are going to have a section and this is where it's going to be but there won't be any marker. And they go, oh, well, we want a marker. Says, well, you can't have one in that section. And they said, well, can we do something else? And so he says, well, what we've done with the Muslims in Victoria is they take the concrete liner without a bottom, and the body's placed on the earth, and then and the concrete liner kind of encloses them, but the body's still on the earth, and then they fill that with the earth. They put the cemetery or the concrete slab on top and then fill in the rest of the grave. So the body is completely encased with dirt. There is this five-sided concrete liner, but then the family gets to have a marker. And I think as we go through this process in the next 5 years or so, we're gonna see kind of this middle ground come up where, and we have to really be careful that when someone says, well, I want a green funeral, it doesn't mean that they're super hardcore, dark, dark green. It could be something quite much green, but just a little greener than what choices that they had in the past. And maybe I think, Paul, if you could elaborate as well on some of the families that you've talked to from the cemetery side.
I'm working with a family now. Actually, this is two young ladies. One is terminal, and they're actually looking for a family lot. There's a few complications because it's an alternative lifestyle they're living. They're Jewish, and they're looking for. They're very much an environmentalist. They pulled up to the office in their smart car, and when they walked into my office, I have an exterior light and an interior light to the other side of the door. Turn on together. They mentioned both times I walked into my office, the first time they mentioned that the outside light was left on, and I should really turn that off. And I can't help turn off the inside light. But so the third time they came around, I ended up talking to them. I said they were going to arrive at 3 o'clock, so I actually unscrewed the light bulb. So which I really thought was fun because 5 minutes before they arrived, my other staffer, another staffer, would have to do the exact same thing. So even my staffer didn't agree. We took them out on our electric golf cart and trying to be as environmentally friendly as we possibly can. And I pulled up beside their smart car and said, these mine will handle 4 passengers and theirs only handle 2. And so we started going off to the grave sites and showing them what's the alternative. And we were talking to them again, they want to be near a tree. And I'm giving them different options. I'm listening to what they want. And I think eventually we'll be able to come up with an idea that will suit them. I think that's the point of the word dealing. There's some very pale greens people out there, and there's some very, very dark green people out there. And we have to, everybody in this audience, we're all very good listeners. You're trained listeners. And what we're suggesting to you is we be better listeners now. We've learned our lessons with cremation. We were surviving, that is no problem. But I think with the green burials, again, if we listen to what our customers want, our families want in our communities, not necessarily what they want in Toronto or BC or in our own little communities, listen to what they want and develop something that will work in your community. That's what I'm suggesting when it comes to shades of green.
Thanks, Paul. One thing that, I think just building upon that, never really assuming someone's definition of green, and obviously in this next circumstance, I wasn't a very good listener, and I hadn't had the benefit of listening to the presentation this morning, because I received an email from a lady from California saying, oh, you funeral futurist guy, how come there's no bamboo caskets? And I didn't respond, and I get comments like that off and on, and so I just left it in my inbox. And then last year I was down in Vegas at the NFPA Convention and Expo, and there was a company called eCoffins, and eCoffins were made out of bamboo, but they kind of had that very wicker style look that these caskets were kind of woven. And as soon as I saw that, I said, aha, I'm going to email this link to that lady and kind of say, yeah, there you go, here's your answer. So I get back home and I send that email back off to her, and she immediately replies. I don't want that crap. She says, like, I'm talking about the bamboo that you have for bamboo hardwood floors. So, and I just really try to have an open mind, and there I heard bamboo and I thought cheap, and so her, now I'm trying to interpret this, she wanted something made out of a renewable resource, but those bamboo hardwood floors contain lacquer, there's gonna be glues or nails and things like that in it. So, and probably wouldn't then be allowed to be in a green burial section, but she just wanted something made out of a renewable resource. And I think that we just need to keep that in mind and really pry and ask them, well, what do you mean by environmentally friendly? And in that circumstance, especially maybe in BC, It might be more environmentally friendly to have a pine tree from BC cut down and milled in BC and manufactured into a casket, because it's not being transported across the country or across the world and leaving a bigger carbon footprint. So these are things that we're putting out on the table, and we're openly discussing these to see how all this kind of shakes out. And maybe, Kaylee, could you expand upon the procurement of natural or raw materials from an environmental position?
I can speak for our company. I mean, with the oil prices the way they are, it obviously makes sense to shop as local as possible even when you're sourcing truckloads, lumber, and all that. But for us, it's natural to try and keep everything as close to the home as possible. But it's not just us, not just the funeral industry, that's not just us in this room, that's everybody else who's here, shop local, whether it's groceries, running shoes for the kids, whatever it may be. But it's the same philosophy in running a business. We make a strong effort to keep everything local, and it keeps the cost down, and obviously helps the environment. But for us, and everyone who's trying to run our business, we understand that dollar to dollar. So it's not just a matter of the environment for us, it's also a matter of cost, and trying to turn that profit at the end of the year. So.
And it's that kind of that balance that we have to do, and as Dave mentioned, some people are willing to pay extra for something like that, or sometimes they're not, and that's why we need to be good listeners and really ask our consumers or our families what they really want what are they willing to pay for. Like how, I guess, getting down to how environmentally friendly or how green they want to be, and where's that medium of where it then becomes inconvenient or too expensive.
Ironically enough, actually, today I had a conversation with Paul and another gentleman, and it was sort of a mini debate, and I said, you know what, it's going to come down to cost. It's going to come down to bringing the family in, and they say, I want this, and you show them, you say, well, here's the environment basket, let's say, for instance, and the family says, wow, I really like that. And you say, well, it's 25% more expensive. I'm just making these numbers up. It's 25% more expensive. I was saying, they're going to balk at it. They're going to say, no, that's not it. They come back to shade green. And Paul had a good point that these are the people, the environmentalists and the people that are trying to be environmentally responsible. They're the people who live their entire lifestyle paying extra for the stuff they want. They're paying, they're going to the grocery store and they're buying these organic grown vegetables and specialty market foods and all this stuff, hybrid cars, which obviously they can't bring in for. They're used to paying extra to be environmentally responsible. And the same thing's going to happen. And I was sweet completely around after talking to Paul and this other gentleman because they were right. I mean, when you're used to paying all that long, you're not going to stop. You want to make your arrangements at the funeral home. So I think we need to really keep that in mind, that the priorities for people who are trying to be environmentally responsible, because the way they're living their lifestyle, it isn't just going to be money. Where maybe for a traditional family to come in for a traditional funeral, and we've seen it happen with cremation, when we know that trend started to happen, and finances were a major part of that, and we viewed it as a cheap alternative monetarily, and I don't think this is an issue of money.
Absolutely.
Sorry. I don't know if you're going to open up now or not, but the one thing was that those people are also people that don't necessarily, they would hesitate if the viral casting was too much to go down to the level of viral casting, or they would have to, if they allowed you to shroud or something like that. So you have to be careful when you price it, and we do as well, to make sure it doesn't cost anymore. Because you're right, okay, my way buys everything at the market and pays more, I'm sure, than we would if we went elsewhere for it. But we're doing, I think that the funeral, they still have the option of choosing casting, or they can choose a container or a shroud, and that's what we're wanting to do. They have to care about it.
Great, thanks, guys. This past spring in March, I was fortunate enough to be down at the ICCFA in San Diego and sat in on the Going Green Symposium, where they had an architect and they had a supplier and they had a funeral director together with Joe C. And Joe C. is the executive director of the Green Burial Council, and Joe gets a lot of press, and you know, in some people's eyes, maybe he's the reincarnation of Jessica Mitford, because he could be seen as our next big enemy. But what was really insightful of listening to Joe as he spoke, he said, well, sometimes, you know, when you film directors have a closed mind, he says, it's so easy for us to take shots at you, but he says, what I really want to do is, you know, to extend my hand, and see, Joe's not a dumb guy, and he knows that he's got 100% of this small little vocal minority who want green barrels and things like that, but he wants to be just one of the options. So when you're in the arrangement process, and you're talking to the family about the disposition, that it would just be one of the choices. So do you want burial, cremation, or reburial? You know, that's their hope, and much rather have 25% of that much bigger pie, because he realizes that 95% of the families that have faced the death are going to walk through the door of the funeral. So it was just really interesting to see that they're trying to make partnerships and really open to opening and having this open dialogue. And maybe, Dave, if you could kind of expand on the one thing that we have to be cautious with, it's not just a cremation customer wanting something cheaper. These people, this is their life, and if you try to skirt some information or veil it in some way, and they know more about it than you, you're going to be in big trouble. So just maybe if you could, because these people are really educated right now.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about that earlier, so it's a safety of the people that they live their life like this, and they know that if you give them some spiel with this old casket that has all the stained rarely on it, it's environmentally friendly because it was actually just made here in Ontario. You know, they're going to tear you apart, but if you know your stuff, and you have real options to still appreciate it. I can't tell you enough how great the marketing tool is as well. And you saw some press that we caught up. And if you can be the first in your community to do it and let people know that they're doing it, we didn't do it out of demand. We didn't have any demand for it. I only heard two families that have been directly applied to that and asked for any type of environmental alternative. But we did it because I really believe that not only funeral service, but in general, we need to make some changes to be more environmentally friendly. And I think that in the next 5 to 10 years, more and more people are going to want options like this. And, Tom Flood, I don't know if you hear Tom, but you gave me this beforehand. And this talks about, it came from the Ottawa Memorial Society, and they're embracing green funerals. So all of a sudden, you have a group that, I don't know how many people are in the Ottawa Memorial Society, but that were encouraging everybody to plan cremation and feed cremation. Now all of a sudden, the same traditional burial. And that's what you got to remember at the end of the day, you will not be afraid of your funeral.
And I think one of the great things with FSAC having this discussion today is that these people, like the moral societies, and that since if we're having this conversation and we're better educated, and we can answer the questions, they can't take shots at us anymore. They'll just be kind of an escape fly, but they won't have any impact because we'll say, oh, sure, we have green offerings, or there's this is the closest area for a green burial, or really then pry in to say, well, what do you mean by green, and what's your interpretation of green? So I think, Bill, at this time, we'll just open it up for questions or comments, and maybe what you have or any concerns. We've got a few people in. If you could kind of make your way up to the microphone here, let me know for it, please.
You mentioned that you didn't have families asking you about green funerals before, maybe two families. I haven't had any at mine yet. But once you've offered it, I'd like you to talk a little bit about how many green funerals since you've offered the land, and how do you introduce it? Do you offer it to everyone in your families, or do you wait for them to mention it, or is there a poster in your arrangement office? How do you get from family walking in the door to a green funeral?
interestingly enough, the first piece of publicity that I had on a CD brought this one. The next day, somebody came in saying, we saw it, our mom died in Stratford, which is a town away from us, and we want to have a green funeral like we had. And we thought, wow, this is going to be great. We go home for February for it. And I mean, we'll have another one for months. But where we noticed that most of it was on trees, that's where we noticed most of the interest. But when a family does come in, on the concrete side anyways, they verbal it or they know what it. I can't tell you really, we've had a lot of publicity and even in your church communities, I don't know, but in our time anyways, they talk a lot of creation care. And so the church is wanting to go with everything. But anyways, going back to your question, the Creed family seem to know what it when they come in. And every time that we can embalm body using the side of food, we do. So regardless of if the family asks for a green film or not, we try to use the food. I can't use it every time, but whenever we can, we use it. Then when we get into the selection room, that's when it comes up, because we have an area where we're familiar with the product that they see, and that's where the question is going to come up. And since those are the only two options, we don't make a big deal. We don't go into it in the restaurant, so we just leave it in the showroom.
Obviously, they've heard that we're good at doing this. Has there been any negative or different feedback from Jewish families, or is it very, very positive?
Yeah, it, I mean, from what I got, it's very positive. Rob, I'm not going to put this off, but you put it off for a few months here. Have we got any negative comments on it? Questions? We get lots of questions. You don't have to worry about offending your current traditional market, and or losing that market either. You just need more options, is my observation.
Another thing, Scott, is back home, one of the field workers on the media was just phoning up the radio stations and said, hey, you're interested in environmentally friendly gas support, come on down to the funeral home, and got, you know, press the newspaper on the radio, and, you know, because it's something that, we live funerals 365 days a year, and to them, that's a pretty unique story, so you're going to come against the tension. So, anyone can do that in the market, especially if you had some products of cables or one of the other products of that type of thing, or just maybe what you're offering in that realm, you're going to get lots of press.
Rob, I'm on that moment too. I think the experts say that we aren't the experts up here. I've been interviewed like Rob on the products wide. CBC, radio, CBC, television, and the funny thing is they were coming to me up for the stories and a little bit of information, and I was sort of shocked because I don't consider myself an expert on green journals. It's just, once it started coming up, I realized that we are all experts on green journals. There's no one out there that really has a lot of information on it. So in your local communities, you are the experts, and you, all you need to do is start talking about it. People will start asking you questions about it. You will become the experts, as you become the experts on all the needs.
Harold, do you have a question?
When I think of green burials, I think of mouldering bones. So what in the world has cremation got to do with green burials?
Bad for the soil, and what the residual effect is.
when this came up a little earlier, thinking, going through my brain, trying to think of the professor's name at the University of Guelph. But there has been a study on the environmental effects of formaldehyde into the groundwater system. And the gentleman, I can't think of his name, but he's a professor at the University of Guelph. He was hired through, I think, two large cemetery companies, because there was some concern about neighbors bringing that up all the time. I do not know if it's a public document or not. I just happen to know the professor, and he said everything that was concerned, all the chemicals that were within the range that they needed to be. There was no real environmental danger. I do not know if that document was being public or not, but from what I understand, there's not a large concern about the formaldehyde in the groundwater.
There was a study done by the Mount Pleasant Cemetery in Toronto by Mount Pleasant and by Barber, and it showed after so many years no contamination of the soil whatsoever. And that study's available.
Now, I think you're hitting that part of the point, but remember, these are people that don't spray their lawns with pesticides, let alone put formaldehyde in there, right? So you have to forget about kind of formaldehyde in your operation for green fields, if you want to go green. We never have talked about it entering into the groundwater. You see away from that because it's never the other side of the business. But what we can talk about is the handling of food as an example, the manufacturing of the groundwater. And that's something that seems to resonate with people as well, but we never got into the groundwater contamination.
And I think that's still one of the questions that hasn't been answered yet, and hopefully as more people start helping us and providing us with those answers and some more studies, then we can have a definite answer on that and other studies to say, but you don't know a lot more from these people unless you know absolutely what you're getting yourself into. One quick question that we need to wrap up.
Okay, I just want to ask a question from a cemetery perspective. Some people go so far with green burials that they don't perceive that even a casket would be involved. And I go back to sometimes when people are watching interments overseas, they see the remains wrapped in a sheet or a blanket. And I need to know from a cemetery perspective, is there legislation and for protection of your shop, the remains must be delivered in some kind of a constructed container, so that there is some protection from that?
In our cemetery, we have a bylaw stating that the remains must arrive in the cemetery in a container structured in such a manner that it can be safely lifted from the coast to the gravesite. And so we get the odd question about we don't want to use the casket at all, and we've been able to avoid that, not avoid it, but to explain that in the cemetery, having to transport the body from one location to another, that you need some kind of structure that will actually accommodate the weight of the body going across. Because anything that happens between the coach and the grave and beyond, we're actually liable for. So we explain it out to them as best we can, but we do get that question not quite a bit, but once in a while.
One of the things too to remember is that when they see those images, they may be seeing it differently, because what's happening is they also see that participation part, and we've done such a great job of sterilizing the funeral service and having the casket taken out to the cemetery plot, and there's not a speck of dirt around, and there's mats and vice and chains, and now we don't even want to look deep into the plots to put a mat underneath there and just lower the casket a foot. And they're just sitting in their nice chairs beside the riverside. And one of the things from what I can gather, they like that more, that hands-on part of that. That same family would be the ones that want to come into the funeral home and be their mom and dad. And we do that for certain ethnic groups and religious groups, but we don't let the general population do that, or we don't offer it. And maybe that's they're seeing. They don't like how we package that traditional funeral now, and they see that, okay, this green thing is something where I can, you know, we can lower that casket into the ground with straps, and then everyone grabs a shovel and fills it in, because then they feel that they participate. So, look, again, those are things that we need to really ask the question, well, why, you know, have your family educate you on why they're asking those questions. We need to wrap up, but I just want to ask the three panel members, if you could, you know, you've got a couple minutes, you know, we've got a representation from each of the stakeholders, funeral, cemetery, and supplier. What did you say to your fellow stakeholders on meeting today, and what they should take home to either talk to their staff or to their peers within their sector? So, Dave, can you start with the funeral?
I guess I tell everyone not to be scared, to go ahead and research it and do it properly. Don't just have a green funeral package available for people, but take some steps so that your business of people come in and walk through it, they can notice that you're trying to have a positive impact on the environment. And you can have some signage in your funeral. By leaving some of the lights off there, so the funeral that aren't being used, and putting a little sign there that we're trying to do our part, people notice that and they comment about it. So, I also think that when you do some of those building upgrades or efficiencies within your building, it's a cost savings to you as well. So, in the long run, it all makes sense. Just as it makes sense to me to do it in your house, it makes sense to me to do it in your business as well. And I really believe that, as I said before, that's a great thing to do, and we can't just go along the way that we have been for pretty years. I'm not talking specifically about air service, I mean everything I do, so make a difference where you are.
Katie, for the manufacturers and suppliers.
Okay, thanks, Rob. I guess if I can wrap it up, what I would try to pass along to everybody is that we're not sitting up here saying that this is going to come as a tidal wave and everybody's going to have, you know, 50% people wanting a green funeral within 2 years. We're not here to say that. What we're saying is that the death care industry is not like any other industry on the face of the planet. We get affected by social changes, social views, and it's hard to ignore that there is an environmentally responsible social change going on. I mean, the movies that are coming out, the documentaries, the speakers, the guest speakers that you see all the time. Everybody mentions and focuses on the environmental issues, and we can't fall behind anymore. We tried that you know, with cremation, what happened. We tried that with rental casting when it first came out. And it's one of these things that we got to learn to accept it. Like I said, it's not going to be a change happening overnight. You'll understand that. It's going to be over the next 15 years, 20 years, in my personal opinion, where it becomes a major issue. What we're doing is we're trying to inform and educate people, and that's what we're here for. If anybody needs to talk in the next hour, has any questions about our products, we'll be at our booth. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Taylor. And Paul, the cemeterians.
So the cemeteries, I'd just like to say that when you're developing future properties, future land, future sections, think about greening up a little bit. Think about your water situation. Think about where you put your plants. Think about weed control you're using. Think about all those little things. Actually, when you buy your lawnmowers, think about the type of energy you're putting in, how much the carbon footprint of that lawnmower is going to be. We do that on a regular basis at Woodlawn now. I think we're finding it's been fairly successful. So we're asking most cemeteries not to change the world. Our cremation gardens are out there very small, and I think these green gardens of the future will start off small and grow to be more acceptable in the future. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Paul. And just as we wrap up, if you're interested in for more information, FSAC's going to put up on their website. We're going to have just a list of all panelists' websites so you can see kind of how they're portraying that to the world through the internet. I had an interesting interview with Joe C. from the Green Arrow Council. There'll be a link on there. interview Stephen Olson from the cemetery side and how he sees it and kind of the history that they've had as they've gone through this process. Also, the coalition put together a discussion paper. Suzanne made that available as well. And the coalition itself, is, as I said earlier, is going to have this as one of the mandates over the next few months or year anyway, and are going to be continuing to provide information for all three sectors to see, just to make sure that we're better prepared. Also, the ICCFA will be available if anyone wants a recording of that 3-hour symposium. There'll be order forms on the website as well if you kind of really want to dive deep into this. So I just would like to thank Dave Burr, Kevin Ferguson, and Paul Taylor for helping us out today, and please continue the conversation. Thank you.